Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we are diving into one of the most fascinating, and let's be honest, one of the most exam-heavy topics in your OCR GCSE psychology course, forensic psychology. Whether you're sitting down for a first-time revision session or cramming the night before your exam, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need to know step by step. We'll cover the key theories, the core study, exam tips, and I'll even throw in a quick-fire quiz at the end to test your recall. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to explain Eysenck's criminal personality theory, apply social learning theory to criminal behavior, evaluate the Cooper and Mackey 1986 core study, and discuss punishment versus rehabilitation. That's a lot, but trust me, it all fits together beautifully. Let's start with the big question. Why do people commit crimes? Psychologists have been wrestling with this for decades, and in your OCR specification, you need to know two main explanations. The first is Eysenck's criminal personality theory. Hans Eysenck was a German-British psychologist who proposed that criminal behavior is linked to specific personality traits. He identified three key dimensions, and you absolutely must know these for the exam. The first dimension is extroversion, that's E for short. Extroverts are sociable, impulsive, and thrill-seeking. Eysenck argued that extroverts have under-aroused nervous systems, meaning they constantly seek stimulation. This makes them more likely to take risks, including criminal ones. The second dimension is neuroticism, N for short. High neuroticism means emotional instability, being anxious, moody, and overreactive. Eysenck said that neurotic individuals have nervous systems that respond too strongly to stress, making them harder to condition, that is, harder to learn from punishment. Now, here's a really important point, and this is one of the most common mistakes candidates make in the exam. Do not confuse neuroticism with psychoticism. Neuroticism is about emotional instability. Psychoticism, P for short, is something completely different. High psychoticism is associated with aggression, lack of empathy, coldness, and antisocial behavior. Think of it as the dimension most directly linked to serious, callous criminal acts. Eysenck argued that criminals tend to score high on all three dimensions, high E, high N, and high P. He believed these traits were largely inherited, making criminal personality partly biological. Now, how does this link to conditioning? Eysenck said that because high E individuals are under-aroused and high N individuals overreact to stress, they are both poor at learning from punishment. They don't condition easily, so the normal social deterrents that stop most people from offending simply don't work as effectively on them. Okay, let's move on to the second explanation. Social learning theory, developed by Albert Bandura. This theory takes a very different approach. It says that criminal behavior is learned, not born. The key idea is that we learn by observing others. If a child watches a role model, say an older sibling or someone they admire, commit a crime and get away with it, or even be rewarded for it with money or status, the child's more likely to imitate that behavior. This is called vicarious reinforcement, being reinforced not by your own experience, but by watching someone else's. There are four key processes in social learning theory that you should know. First, attention. You have to notice the behavior. Second, retention. You have to remember it. Third, reproduction. You have to be physically capable of doing it. And fourth, motivation. You have to want to do it, usually because you've seen it rewarded. For the exam, you'll often be given a scenario, a little story about a character, and asked to apply social learning theory to it. The key is to link the theory directly to the scenario. Don't just define the theory in the abstract. Say something like, "In this scenario, Jamie watched his older brother steal and receive praise from his peers." This is an example of vicarious reinforcement, which, according to Bandura's social learning theory, would increase the likelihood that Jamie would imitate the behavior. Right. Now let's talk about the core study, Cooper and Mackey, 1986. This is a study you must know in detail for OCR GCSE psychology. The aim of the study was to investigate whether playing violent video games increases aggressive behavior in children. The sample was 60 girls aged 9 to 10 years old, recruited from a primary school in the United States. The procedure involved three conditions. Group 1 played Pac-Man, a nonviolent video game. Group 2 played Missile Command, a violent video game. Group 3 was the control group and played no video game at all. After playing, all participants were given a task where they could choose to disrupt a partner's work. The level of disruption was used as a measure of aggression. The results showed that the children who had played Missile Command, the violent game, showed significantly more disruptive behavior than the other two groups. Cooper and Mackey concluded that playing violent video games does increase aggression in children, supporting social learning theory, because the children had modeled the aggressive behavior they saw in the game. Now, for evaluation, and this is where the marks really stack up, you need to use the GRAVE acronym. That's generalizability, reliability, application, validity, and ethics. On generalizability, the sample was only 60 girls aged 9 to 10 from one school in the USA. This is a very narrow sample. We cannot generalize the findings to boys, to older children, to children from different cultures, or to adults. This is a significant limitation. On validity, the study has low ecological validity because it was conducted in an artificial laboratory-style setting. Children playing video games in a controlled experiment is very different from how they would normally play at home. The measure of aggression disrupting a partner's work is also a rather artificial and indirect measure of real-world aggression. On ethics, the children were not exposed to serious harm, and the study was relatively ethical. However, you could argue that deliberately exposing children to violent content raises ethical questions. On application, despite its limitations, the study has real-world relevance. It has been used to inform debates about age ratings on video games and parental guidance, which is a genuine practical application. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where I can really help you pick up extra marks. First, the GRAVE acronym. Every time you evaluate a study, run through GRAVE. Generalizability, reliability, application, validity, ethics. You don't need to cover all five in every answer, but having this framework in your head means you'll never be stuck for evaluation points. Second, the 13-mark question. This is the big one. You need a balanced argument. That means you must include both strengths and weaknesses, both supporting evidence and counter-evidence. A common mistake is to write only about one side. Examiners are looking for candidates who can weigh up the evidence and reach a judgment. Third, applying theory to scenarios. This is tested almost every year. When you see a scenario, underline the key details and explicitly link them to the theory. Use phrases like, this is an example of, or, according to Bandura, this would be described as. Don't assume the examiner knows you understand the link. Spell it out. Fourth, punishment versus rehabilitation. These are two very different concepts, and you must not confuse them. Punishment, such as prison, is about retribution and deterrence. It aims to make the offender suffer a consequence and deter others. Rehabilitation, such as community sentencing, cognitive behavioral therapy, or restorative justice, aims to change the offender's behavior so they don't reoffend. Examiners will credit responses that clearly distinguish between these two goals. Fifth, negative reinforcement is not the same as punishment. Negative reinforcement is when a behavior is strengthened because it removes something unpleasant. Punishment is when a behavior is weakened by an unpleasant consequence. This is a classic mix-up that costs candidates marks every year. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the questions, pause the podcast, and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What are Eysenck's 3 personality dimensions? Pause now. The answer is extroversion, neuroticism, and psychoticism. Question 2. What is vicarious reinforcement? Pause now. The answer is being reinforced by watching someone else receive a reward for a behavior, making you more likely to imitate it. Question 3. What was the sample in Cooper and Mackey 1986? Pause now. The answer is 60 girls aged 9 to 10 from a primary school in the USA. Question 4. What does GRAVE stand for? Pause now. The answer is generalizability, reliability, application, validity, ethics. Question 5. What is the key difference between punishment and rehabilitation? Pause now. Punishment aims to deter and retribute. Rehabilitation aims to change behavior and reduce reoffending. Brilliant work for sticking with me to the end. Let's do a super quick recap. Eysenck said criminals have high extroversion, neuroticism, and psychoticism, making them poor at conditioning and prone to risk-taking. Bandura's social learning theory says criminal behavior is learned through observation, vicarious reinforcement, and imitation. Cooper and Mackey, 1986, found that playing violent video games increased aggression in girls aged 9 to 10, supporting social learning theory. But the study has limitations around sample bias and ecological validity. And when it comes to dealing with crime, punishment and rehabilitation are two very different approaches with different goals. Remember to use Grave for evaluation, apply theory directly to scenarios, and always distinguish punishment from rehabilitation in your answers. You've got this. Good luck in your exam. I'll be rooting for you. See you next time.